Anybody else tonight need to testify, need to obey the Spirit of God? John chapter number 1, 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. There's a colon there, so it's not the end of the sentence. The thought goes on. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you again this evening. I'm needy as always. I'm in need of you to help me. And Lord, if you don't, it'd be a disaster tonight. I ask you just to help me. Lord, I ask you to open the hearts of your people and feed the sheep tonight. And I thank you for the good message we've already heard. And God, just let this just come in behind and just be nourishment as well. And God, I ask you, if you would, if there's anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, you'd refrain it for a few minutes. And I ask you to be glorified out of our midst. When it's all said and done, we head toward the house. May you have been glorified and honored and uplifted. I love you, Lord, and I need you tonight. Thy will be done. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, perhaps I should, what I'm going to preach tonight, I should have covered this morning. I did realize this morning that I was repeating some of the same things again and again, but I think it was necessary. I really think it's important, and I want to review just again for a few minutes and then just give you a short little message tonight. First of all, I want to say this. John is writing to people who appear to be struggling believers. Now keep in mind, the Apostle Paul most likely has been dead 25 years. And the church has been going on. And so they're coming down to about to the first 100 years there, or the first 70 years, I guess, approximately, after this thing's gotten started. And the many of the leaders is gone, and really we might even could say there's some second generation believers on the scene by this time. And John, an old man, is writing, and he's writing as an eyewitness, and he's writing to struggling people. He said this in verse 4, and I'm not going to go back through all the verses again, but I've got about 15 verses that would indicate they might have been struggling people. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Somewhere they had lost some joy. There's something that had come up short in their life. And we can just see other things through the chapter. And we talked about that this morning. And then I said this, and I know from Hebrews on there is a Jewish twist to the scriptures. But I wonder if perhaps 1 John may have been written with the Gentile in mind, because he does not mention Old Testament scriptures, and because of the last verse when he tells them, he tells his readers to keep themselves from idols. And so we talked about that this morning. And then we said this, if you will notice in John's gospel, there is several places he says this, I know, we know. He uses we a lot. We know, we know. And there is some things in the Christian life, the believer, they need to know. They need to know. They can know and they should know. We're not on a hit or miss journey. We're not in this thing and just kind of in the dark and wandering around and wondering how it's going to turn out, what it's going to be. There's some things we can know. And I'm convinced, and I know, and I'm not against it, and I've done it. We use 1 John to give the assurance of salvation. But really, this is a letter to believers. And really, the gist of this letter is fellowship rather than relationship. I believe that with all my heart. You can make application. I wouldn't fuss about that. And you can even disagree with me, and I won't fuss about that, because I believe that for a long time. I really believe the gist of 1 John is dealing. I'm just persuaded it's dealing with fellowship versus relationship. And so he says this, that your joy may be full. And then we talked about Gnostics this morning. And I really believe, I know this is not a Bible concept, but it's Bible history or church tradition or whatever you want to call it. There was a group of folks called Gnostics. The word Gnostic means knowledge. They felt they had superior knowledge. They felt like that they had an experience with the Lord that added to what the Word of God said. And my, isn't that where we're at today? Folks trying to add to the Word of God. They add the Book of Mormon, isn't that right? They add the Watchtower. They've added the Apocrypha. They've added, and the Charismatics had the experiences, the dreams and the visions and all these things that they have. They're adding to the Word of God. That's kind of what the Gnostics was. They had some sort of a mystical experience that the average Christian didn't have. One writer said this. He said he was convinced the deeds of the Nicolaitans were really Gnosticism. I mean, they were on a superior level and the people were down here. That pretty well kind of lines up with this thing of the Nicolaitans if you study that out. And so you can think on that if you want. But here's these Gnostics. And here's what the Gnostics, they felt like the flesh was wicked. There wasn't nothing you could do with the flesh. The soul was what was important. So just let, there was two philosophies among the Gnostics. One was self-mutilization. The flesh is wicked, you have to punish it. And you have to harm it to keep it in line. The other was just let the flesh go. Just let it do what it wants to do. It's sinful. It's no hope of the flesh. Turn it loose. It's not the soul sinning. It's the flesh. And so it led to a life of sin. In other words, here's what they're saying. Our advanced knowledge, our knowledge that's greater than yours gives us a greater license. Hey, I've actually run into people like that. Brother Tom, I don't know if you have in your experience, but I've actually had people say, hey, just let the flesh go. It doesn't matter. Live however you want to live. The old flesh is going to die. There's no hope for it anyway. Well, you think what you want, but I believe our Bible teaches by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have control of our flesh. I'm not saying it won't get out of line from time to time, but the Holy Spirit will help us live right, walk right, and do right. That's right. And we need to do that so we can be the witness and we can be the ambassador that God would have us to be. I don't have any confidence in a man to get up and preach to me that doesn't have control over his tongue or doesn't have control over his flesh. I don't have any confidence in that. If he can't control where he goes, he can't control what he says, and he's just freewheeling, don't preach to me. I don't have any any confidence in a man that God can't help him live a godly, holy life. And when we look at this, I want you to keep this in mind. We're not necessarily talking about our standing. Our standing is perfection. I mean, when we got saved, we never sinned again. We're hid with Christ in God. We're seated in the heavenlies. There's probably a multitude of verses you can go to. We're talking about our state. Our state. And that's what John's dealing with. And here's this group that's come into the church trying to distort sound doctrine and trying to tear down. Sure, the flesh is wicked. Paul said, "For in this flesh dwelleth no good thing." We understand that. But aren't you glad we have the Holy Spirit? And there's just enough truth with what they said to take struggling believers and lead them into error. And that's where we're at today. I mean, it's exactly where we're at. And if you're not careful, you'll be deceived. And you'll get caught up. I can tell you a few little doctrines that I've almost gotten caught up in, and save for the grace of God, I would have been caught up in it. And so here we talked about these Gnostics who just let the flesh have its way because it didn't matter. It's going back to dust. And then I said this, church tradition will teach you that John was one of the pastors at the church at Ephesus. I could go back. I've got it here, and I was going to do that this morning, but I just got in a big way and take you through that church at Ephesus. In Acts 18, the church come down. Acts 20, he said, "When I leave, there's going to be wolves that's going to enter from the outside. They're going to enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And then he said, "Men are going to rise from among you and speak perverse things," I believe the Bible says, "to draw away disciples after them." There's going to be some from the outside come in. There's going to be men arise from within and speak perversion to draw men after them. He comes over to 1 Timothy and he says to Timothy, "I left you at Ephesus so you could..." Let me see how it says. Slip my mind. It's 1 Timothy chapter number 1. You don't have to turn unless you just want to. But 1 Timothy chapter number 1. "And I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." So there at Ephesus, there was some teaching false doctrine, and Paul's telling them, Timothy, you get in there and you root out and stop that false doctrine. I want to say this, it's good behavior. I'm going to preach just a little bit what I preached before here. It's good behavior for the man of God to stand against false doctrine in the house of God. You be sure about that. You know what false doctrine does? It subverts whole houses. That's right. It subverts whole houses. They've been good families led astray because some so-called man of God got up and preached false doctrine. It has an ungodly power behind it to influence folks' life. And so we see in 1 Timothy chapter 1 this thing about Timothy staying there and charging them that they teach no other doctrine. And then you come over to Revelation chapter 2, and you see the history. You can pretty well trace that church at Ephesus all the way through. And the Revelation was written after 1 John. But he says this to the church at Ephesus, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." Oh, John, he didn't care to call a man a liar. I mean, two or three times in John, he calls, "If you say this, you're a liar." And here he says it again, "You found them liars, and hast borne half patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And so John deals with this love. He knew there is a good chance this first epistle had some, at least in part, some
some truths to help the church at Ephesus. Now, you don't have to believe that, but I've convinced myself from studying that that might be so. And so then we said this, and I'm preaching, I guess, the same thing again, but we said this, there's a process. John had one concern, one thing he wanted. He wanted those believers to have full joy, not partial joy. He wanted them to have full joy. And I said there was a process to that. We said we see that process. Number one, he gave them the truths about Jesus. And here's what he did. He tried to focus them in on the Lord. I'm afraid God's people are focused on everything but the Lord. I'm afraid we're focused on our troubles, our problems, our job, the struggles of our family, and my, we ought to be concerned. There's a place for that, but our focus, our primary dwelling place in our mind, our mental dwelling place ought to primarily be focused upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we'll get there, we'll be starting the right way. And then we said this, now after you get focused, there needs to be some fellowship. We could say a lot about fellowship. I like what one fella said. Fellowship, the way he defined it, is going down the same road together. That's what he said, and he used that verse over there, and Enoch walked with God. He said, surely Enoch had fellowship. I couldn't help but think about the Emmaus Road, how they walked with the Lord and had fellowship. They called it communion in Luke when they talked about the Emmaus Road, but that's what it was. There was fellowship. You'll never have fellowship with the Lord, and fellowship with your brethren came first. We saw that this morning. And so you've got focusing on the Lord, fellowship with the brethren, and then you've got fellowship with the Lord, and then comes full joy. I believe that's the normal process. If you're going to focus on anything but the Lord, you'll never have the joy that you need. And so we've talked about all that, but tonight I want to start, if I can, and I want to talk for just a few minutes on this thing of problems as we attempt to have full joy. Some things we have to deal with. And it's so important that we understand some of these things. Let's look in verse number 5 and start there. And we'll just give you a few things and be done tonight. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Here's John. He is preaching doctrinal truth again. Here's these Gnostics that said, we have license. We know the Bible says this, but we have license to do like we want to do, and it's okay. And John says this, I'm going to give you a truth. I want you to know this, that God is light, and in him is no darkness. He didn't stop there. It's no darkness at all. Not one sin in the Lord and in God. I mean, light speaks of holiness and sinlessness. And he said, I want you to understand that with the Lord, there's no darkness. Now he comes on. He says this, if we say, and by the way, if you'll look in verse 6 and verse 8, in verse 9 and verse 10, it's folks that are saying things. If we say, and then in verse number 9, if we confess, that's saying something. If we, verse number 10, if we say, so the last 5 verses, the last 4 out of 5, the last out of the last 5 verses, 4 of them has something about this, if we say. If we say. And so there was some folks saying some things, and John's going to straighten them out tonight. And I want to say this, it's very important that you have the right concept of sin. That's very important in your life. I'm talking about practical sin. Far as you're standing, you don't have to worry about sin. You're hid with Christ in God. I've already told you that. You're seated in the heavenlies. But he expects you and I to bring our body into subjection direction. I could take you over there and show you where Paul talked about the hat. You students know where I'm talking about. I've forgotten the word he used, but it meant wrestle. He brought his body under subjection. Maybe that's the word he uses, but it's over there, and I can show it to you after service. And God expects you and I to live godly, holy lives. I hope nobody struggles with that. I hope nobody has the idea, I can just live any way I want to. It doesn't matter. This old flesh is wicked, and just let it go. Hey, God expects you to live a godly, holy, sanctified life so you can have influence and bring glory to his name while we dwell here on this earth. You might as well accept that. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to understand some truths about sin. Verse number 6, John says this. You might as well get this down. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now we're talking about fellowship. Fellowship for believers. John's writing to believers. And he's saying this. If we walk in darkness or we walk in sin. Now how many of you has ever known somebody who justified their sin saying, the Lord told me it's okay. Or it's all right. I know folks used to. They'd come into where I worked at. And maybe old people. Most time it was older people. And they'd be shacking up. They'd be living together unmarried. And they'd say this, it's okay, and they would justify it because of this. We couldn't get by. We couldn't make it. We couldn't get our checks from the government if we got married. What we'd get then wouldn't be enough for me to buy my medicine. That's what they'd say, and they'd justify sin in their life. But I want to tell you, that don't hold water in the eyes of God. I just want you to understand that. I don't know what sin's in your life. I don't know what excuse you're using. If you have one, I don't know how you're justifying it. I don't know how you're trying to make it right in your eyes. But I want to say in him is no darkness at all. And if you're going to have fellowship with him, you're going to have to live godly life. Because when you yoke up with him, friend, and you got sin in your life, if you could yoke up with him, you'd tarnish God. And God expects you to live a holy life. So he can have fellowship with you and you can have full joy in your life. That's so important. That's so important. Now here's what he said. Let me see if I can slow up and just preach this. Just give you these little truths. And probably be more effective if I just slowed up a little. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now these folks all across this, what we call the Bible Belt, if that's not a myth, and I tend to think it may be now, but all across this Bible Belt, there's people living in sin, and I used an example of immorality, but it could be any sin, and they say this, they're right with God. And I want to tell you, they're not right with God. That's what John's trying to get across, and he's saying this, it's black and white. And these churches that brings the world into the church to draw a big crowd, they're not right with God. That's right. Because let me just read it to you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, do you hear that? If any man, that's what the church is, a body of men and women. If any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in him. And here's what it says, for all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And we're at enmity with the world. And when the so-called church brings the enemy of God, the world, into its doors, it's not right with God, and it's not in fellowship with God. Amen. That's cut and dried, black and white, yes and no, or however else you want to look at it. That's just how it is. This crowd out here, they can draw a big number. But you know what? They might have a lot of heads, but they don't have God. He ain't going to fellowship with that. He ain't going to do it. Well, you say that's a little harsh. Well, you take it up with John. You take it. I'll take it, stepfather. Take it up with the Holy Ghost. That's what the Word of God says. Well, amen. Well, let me get back over here. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now don't get out here and live like hell itself and come tell me you're right with God. You're in fellowship with Him. I don't believe a word of that. John didn't, the Holy Ghost didn't, and you don't if you'd be honest about it. And there's a lot of God's people that are trying to hobnob in the world and maintain a good position in the church, and it just can't be done. And you're going to have to decide. You're going to have to decide if you're going to be in the world or be in the church, because there's no darkness at all in Him. And He's not going to fellowship with us if we walk in darkness. But then we go to verse number 7. And this verse, it's just kindly, it's always been a mystery verse to me, but I believe I've got a little bit of a handle on it. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, I used to think that's talking about you've got to have all sin out of your life. And that's kind of the way I preach to you here this evening. And I understand what you're saying, but yet we're sinful creatures. When I still knew you need to live holy, some of you said, yeah, but we got the flesh and we're going to sin. And John comes down, he starts explaining some things. He said, if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship. Notice He picks this up again, one with another. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. You know what the basis of sin cleaning in your life is? You know why you can be clean from your sins? Can I tell you why? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, right there it is. And the blood. It doesn't say in the Word of God. It doesn't say and the prayer of faith. It doesn't say anything. It says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's present tense. It said if we walk in the light, well, if we're in the light, why do we need cleansing? That's what it used to always wrestle with. Well, He's going to explain this. He's not talking about sinless perfection, but He's going to explain it as we go on down. And He's going to give us two or three errors, and then He's going to give us a truth. Number one, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I hope there's nobody in this crowd tonight. I pray you're not that unlearned that you would say this, I do not commit sin, because we all sin. And I quote these to you. I just on a regular basis, and it's scriptures that's helped me along the way. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Now I know our standing, we are righteous. Keep in mind where I'm coming from. I'm talking about state tonight. I'm not talking about relationship. I'm talking about fellowship. I'm talking about you and the Lord having fellowship, which is essential for full joy, and joy, our strength is the joy of the Lord. So if we're going to serve, if we're going to have the strength to do what He wants us to do, we have to have joy. If we're going to have joy, we have to have fellowship with the Lord. If we're going to fellowship with the Lord, we have to have fellowship with our brethren. And so here's something that's affecting fellowship with the Lord. And if it affects fellowship with the Lord, it affects your joy. It affects your strength. It affects your ability to serve God because of the strength issue. And so what's this? And the Bible says in verse 23, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Now let me just tell you before you go any farther, in case you're mixed up, every one of you sin. There ain't nobody lives above sin. Hey, not one of you live above sin. You need to get that in your mind. You're going to sin. It's not a question of if you sin. It's a question of when you sin and what you do after you sin. That's the question. But here's what John said. If you walk in the light, you have fellowship. If you walk, a holy life without sin, you have fellowship. Is that what he's saying? We minute, we don't need cleansing if that's the case. Well, what's he saying? He's dealing with a sin issue, and the first truth he wants to get them across, if we say that we have no sin, we make him, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, there's folks that say that, especially in other denominations. They say this, I hadn't sinned. I heard one preacher preaching. He's talking to Phil, said, I hadn't sinned 20 years. I hadn't sinned. Why, that's a joke to me. I almost laugh at that. If he told me I hadn't sinned 20 minutes, Brother Miller, I probably still would have thought, yeah, you're lying to me, brother. You're lying to me. If he was a brother, I just don't believe that, and I hope you don't believe it. And John wants to make this truth clear. You do sin. You've got to walk in the light. And if you do walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth you from all sin, and you can have that, keep that fellowship with God. For in him is light, and there's no darkness at all in him. And the first thing you got to admit is, I'm sinful. I do sin. I do come short. What do you do? What's the answer? Well, let's read on. Let's see this other response. In verse number 10, I want to skip over verse number 9, but I want to come down here to verse number 10. And here's a second response. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, I believe I used to take those two as the same, and that one was placing emphasis upon the other. But I've come to believe this, that that's two different problems. When I look at verse number 10, the way it reads, if we say that we have not sinned, that's as if somebody's saying you sin, and somebody, and you come back and say, hey, we have not sinned. It's as if they have done something contrary to the word of God, and they're trying to justify what they've done. We live in that time. Isn't that right? Isn't it? Don't we live in a time that people call evil good and good evil? Isn't that right? I mean, they just justify everything. I'm talking about the folks that's shacking up so they can keep the government checks. They don't marry because it'll cut the government checks down. And they justify it. They feel good about it. They feel so good about it. They'll tell the preacher about it. They'll tell anybody else about it. And they'll talk about their significant others. I've heard it all. I've seen it all. I used to write house insurance, and I'd run into it all the time. Same thing with the sodomite crowd. They justified. They'd just tell you just plain as day, that's my partner. They wouldn't hang their head. They'd look you right in the eye. You know what they're doing? They're calling evil good. And those that stand against evil, they're calling good evil. That's where we live today. They're saying this thing of tolerance for sodomy and tolerance for all this dope and drugs and alcohol, all them things. They're saying that's good. And if you stand against it, you say that's sin. They say you're evil and you're wicked. I say to you, there's a woe pronounced on America because of our stand against good and evil. Oh my, here it is. Now, I think that's what them Gnostics were saying. They're saying, hey, we're not sinning. We just know more than you do. We're just smarter. We've got advanced revelation. We're farther down the road. We have not sinned. And here's what old John's saying. When you sin, if you say you have not sinned, here's what he says, we make him, the Lord, a liar. That's right. If you say what you're doing is different than what God said it is, you're calling God a liar. Hey, that's right. He said immorality is wrong. Adultery and fornication is wrong. If you say it's okay, what you're saying, God, you're lying. Isn't that right? Sure it's right. You know it's right. You better be sure you line up with the Word of God. You better agree with God, because if you disagree with God, in essence, you're saying, God, you're not telling the truth. I'm right. You're wrong. You're lying. And that's what John said to him. Isn't that right? Well, you name me or old me or whatever you want to do, it's right. I know it's right. Here's what they're saying. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And John said this, his word's not in us. They didn't have the word of God in them. They didn't have the word of God in them. They didn't have anything. So here he is. He's saying this. Here's the hypotheses, or here's the that ain't the right word. Here's the outline of what's being said. He, first of all, he said, God's light, and in him's no darkness at all. And then he says this, if we say, some will say this, we have fellowship with God, but we're walking in sin. He says, no, that's not so. You're lying. We lie and do not the truth, he says in the last part of verse 6. So first of all, they're saying we're living sinful. We're having fellowship with God. John said, you're lying. That's not right. You're just telling a lie. And I want to tell you, I want to stress it again. There's a crowd out there that's saying that today. I'm going to just tell you, they're lying. They may be saved, but they're not in fellowship with God. And you tell them, I said so. I don't care. I mean, God's given this little truth to me, and I know what I'm talking about tonight. And you know it's so. You can read it right there yourself. And then he says this, verse 7, but if we walk in the light. So we've got to figure out how to walk in the light in sinful bodies. Well, he said the first thing, if you're going to walk in the light, you can't say, I don't have sin in my life. You can't say that because everybody sins. All sin comes short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. And we can go on. You can just get verse after verse after verse. If you have a good enough memory, I don't, but I can hunt them up for you. If you want to argue, if you want to debate that point. But first thing, if you're going to walk in the light, you can't say this, I don't sin, because you do sin. So y'all going to sin this week. You're going to have to figure out what you got to do when you do sin, or that's going to break your fellowship with God. And then verse number 10 said this, if you sin, you try to act like you're not sinning. You're lying. And you can't have fellowship with God if you act like you're not sinning. And I want it. I've got it here. I may just turn over and read it just for the sake of these young people. I believe it's Proverbs 29. I looked it up before I come up here. It talks about hiding your sin. Let me see if I can find it. Maybe verse... let me see where it's at here. I believe it's Proverbs chapter 29. I got it wrote down here somewhere or another. 28 and verse 13. Here's what it said. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Now that's just the Bible. Now if you've got sin in your life, by the way, there's sins of commission, but there's sins of omission. There's sins that God tells you do something, you don't do it. Can I tell you, that's sin in your life. That's right. I'm telling you right. That's sin in your life. And here's what the Bible says. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Whoa. You mean if I fail to do what God tells me, I'm sinning, and if I cover that up, act like everything's all right, I'm not going to prosper? That's what the Bible says. That's what it says, black and white, right there. Well, I guess if I was you and I was guilty, I'd say that's Old Testament. That doesn't apply. That doesn't apply. But the fact of the matter is, it does apply in your life. That's right. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Well, that's what that's doing. That's what that's doing over here in 1 John. If we say that we have not sinned, now we done it, but it wasn't sin. We didn't sin. Here's what John said. Make him a liar and his word's not in. So that's two things you're going to, you may have a tendency, man has a tendency to do. Let me say it that way, to say I don't sin. And then to say what I'm doing, it's not really classified as sin because of. You got a valid reason why you do what you do. Well, okay. But can I tell you, disobedience to the Word of God is sin. That's just how it is. I hate it. I know it brings a little hush, a little coolness on us. But the fact of the matter is, when we disobey the Word of God, whether we go beyond the boundary God set and go farther than He wants us to go, or come short of what He desires, it's sin. And you're going to have to just say, I'm guilty. And that's just where it's at. It may be God's dealt some of these young people on some things. It may be God's dealt some of these young families on some issues. And you've justified it and explained it away and said why this is and why that is, why I don't need to do it, why I just need to disobey the Word of God. Can I tell you, it's sin in your life if you're disobeying the Word of God that He's revealed to you. It's sin, and you'll answer to God for it one of these days. Well, what does it mean to walk in the light? That's where I keep trying to get to. But if we walk in the light, we got sinful bodies. We're going to commit sin. Number one, it means we confess that we're sinners. We admit, yes, we're sinners. We sin. Now, if I had every one of you just stand up and say, yes, I sin, it hurt some of your feelings. You wouldn't want to say, I'm a sinner. I commit sins. And if I said, well, just share with us one of the sins you struggle with, most of you be ashamed. And rightfully so. I'd hate it if you was proud of it. It's rightful to be ashamed of. But the fact of the matter is, if you're going to walk in the light, you're going to have to admit, I sin. And then if you're going to walk in the light, when you do sin, you're going to have to quit justifying saying it's all right. You're just going to have to say, I've sinned. But I want to go to verse number 9, and I think this is what it means to walk in the light. I think we get John chapter 1 and verse number 7, but if we walk in the light, and then in 8, 9, and 10, he gives us a commentary on that verse. I believe that's what's going on. I'm convinced myself of that. And I never had saw that before, but I'm comfortable that's what's going on. And so he commentates on verse 7 with 8, 9, and 10. Here's what it means to walk in the light when we're in sinful bodies. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we're in a state of perfection. That's right, that's our standing. He's talking about state here. That's exactly what he's talking about. He's cleaning you up so you can keep that fellowship. Well, what does it mean to walk in the light? I've already told you, number one, admit you're a sinner. Number two, don't try to justify your sins saying what you're doing is not wrong. If it's sin by the Word of God, it's sin and own up to it. Number three, when God sheds His light on that, gives you knowledge that what you've done's wrong, here's what you're to do. Go to God, confess that you've sinned, and the Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Three little truths. I could just got up here and give them to you and been through tonight, I guess. I know I've wore you out preaching, but it stirred in my soul. Number one, don't say you don't sin. Just admit it. Number two, don't try to hide your sin behind some justification. If it's sin, it's sin. And number three, you confess that sin to the Lord. You don't confess it to me. You don't have to answer to the brethren. You go to God and confess it to Him. And what does He say He'll do? I've said it to you two or three times. He'll forgive us. And you know what we have, Brother Steve? We're back in the light. We're back in fellowship. We're on our way to full joy. We're on our way to having that strength that we can do what God wants us to do. Can we walk in the light? Well, standing in our position in Christ, that's already settled. We have to be talking about our state. We have to be. That's where we mess up, and that's what we're battling with. And here's what he's saying. Be honest about it. You're a sinner. Don't camouflage your sins. Go to God, confess and admit, be honest with God from your heart, confess to God and He'll forgive you. You can be in the light and go on for the glory of God. Amen. Don't be like them old Gnostics and try to say, well, I've got liberty. I've got superior knowledge. We do have liberty. I understand we're not under the law. I understand there is some truth to this thing of liberty. Paul talks about our liberty. But you don't have liberty to live an ungodly life. You don't do it. Here's what I'm talking about. If you're going to have fellowship, you've got to deal with the sin issue. And I'm through. I'm through right now. I'm not going any farther. You've got to deal with the sin issue. Because your fleshly sins will break your fellowship with the Lord. And the way you walk in light in a sinful body is be honest. Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Yes, Lord, I could justify this sin, but I know you said it's sin. It is sin. Please forgive me. I admit I'm a sinner. Please forgive me, and he'll do it. And you walk in the light. You go down the road. You sin again. You do the same thing. And we deal with our sins. And we walk on and go on with God. And that's how you walk in the light in a sinful body. That's how you do it. And if you don't know how to deal with your sins, you're defeated. Your fellowship's broken. And you need to be big enough. And my, it's hard on the pride. It's hard on the flesh and the ego, whatever words you want to use. But God wants you to humble your heart, admit what you are, confess it to God and get it right so you can go on and have that full joy. And you know why God's work's not getting done? God's people do not have the strength they need because they don't have the joy they need. That's it. And we don't have the joy because we don't have the fellowship. And many times the reason we don't have fellowship is because we've not dealt with those sins. We've tried to explain them away and justify them and say, hey, I didn't sin when in fact we did. I've heard people in this church, my, they've sinned. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm not God, but I've just heard them bashing other people. They sin with a tongue in the church house. How in the world is God going to bless God's people like that? Well, anyway, here's what I'm talking about, walking in the light. You're going to have to walk in the light, and your sins will hinder you from doing that. Deal with your sins. Deal with those sins you commit. Get them under the blood. That's you hear that all the time. Get them things on. And I know, I'm talking about practical. I'm not talking about your standing in the Lord. I'm talking about fellowship, not relationship. It's two entirely different things. John's writing to the brethren here. And we need to get that. Let's bow our heads tonight. Brother Allen, let's have a verse of a song. I don't know. Maybe nobody. It's just really stirred me studying through this. We can walk in the light in sinful bodies when we deal with our sins and get them right with God. Maybe you're here tonight. Really, I just give it like I did this morning. Maybe your joy's not what it ought to be. Won't you let God do something in your life if He needs to tonight? Brother Allen's going to sing to us, and just you and God, we'll just sing a verse, and if nobody needs to pray, nobody needs to do business with God, we'll go home. Sing to us, Brother Allen, when you get ready. Just you and God talking it over. Say something in your life you need to get right. Maybe you've been justifying why it's right. You've been denying that you've sinned. You know you've sinned. You know the Bible says stands against it. Why don't you do business with Him tonight while Brother Allen sings to us?